All right, let's get the show on the road. Teba, I must tell you, you've almost made me lose credibility in the eyes of all of these people. Almost.
But why? I couldn't figure out which one is master class, which one is no class.
Obviously,
when I saw her, I knew the class was here.
Okay, well, welcome to Future CEOs. This is being recorded as a podcast, and it's going to be available, and we're going to send it everywhere on Cliff Central. I guess for everyone here in the room who doesn't know who I am and who Hlubi is, and you must introduce yourself, and then we'll ask our guests to introduce themselves. My name is Gareth Armstrong, and we co-host the Future CEO show on Cliff Central. Hlubi, who are you?
I'm Hlubi, and I am your co-host on Future CEOs. But more importantly, I think we should thank our sponsors for today. So that is Cliff Central, that is Accenture.
Yes.
And who's our third one?
Mercedes-Benz.
How could I forget?
Yeah.
Mercedes-Benz. Thank you so much.
So everyone, that sexy car over there, that's because Mercedes-Benz support Future CEOs. And we're very lucky to have them. And then finally, did you mention contemporary events?
Yes, I did.
Good. Excellent. Let's move straight into our conversation.
Let's get into this, yeah.
What are we talking about today?
How to develop a high-impact personal brand.
And we've got two experts here. We're going to ask you both to introduce yourself. We'll start with the Rose.
Oh, thank you.
And then we're going to go straight into our conversation. Rose, who are you?
So my name is Donna Rachelson. I'm a branding and marketing specialist. I've got a special interest in personal and team branding, as well as the development of women and the development of entrepreneurs.
Love that.
Very nice. Tebe, can you top it?
Tebe.
I can't top it. But my name is Tebe Galafeng. I run a Pan-African firm on building brands across the continent. I've worked everywhere else. I put presidents in power, and I make brands great.
Wow, that's what I'm talking about. Okay.
Shall we start a little bit of a war here? Can you top the president in power thing, Donna?
No, I'm not out to top him. He is an expert in his field, and we're here to educate about how to take your personal brand to the next level.
Before we do that, Donna, tell us about your books that you have at your stand right here at the LeaderX Expo 2015.
Fantastic. So I've got three books. I've got a stand over there. I've got a great book on personal branding. It's called Branding and Marketing You. I've interviewed 8 South Africans who've done an amazing job of branding and marketing themselves. I've also interviewed 6 teams and seen how they have branded and marketed themselves. And my latest book, which released last month, is called Play to Win, Women Can Learn from Men in Business. It's a very thin book. Very thin.
So you've got jokes as well.
Okay. I'm doing the sequel, which is What Men Can Learn from Women in Business, and it's going to be very thin.
Yeah.
I'd like to argue, but you're right. I mean, we men are mere shadows, and as they say, dust. Tebe, you've also got a couple of important things that we must allow them to understand before they can trust your advice. Just talk us through a couple of things.
Nice.
Just some accolades.
Literally, around Brand Africa, which is an initiative to change the image of the continent, to celebrate our diversity and to drive our competitiveness. And one of the things that I do, 5 years ago, I started the top 100 brands in Africa, top 100 most valuable brands and most admired brands. Mm. The first one, the most comprehensive, nobody's ever done it. So we look at the continent-wise. But my work is out. When you get out of the center, you'll see my work facing you. I've created Transnet, changing from Sportnet to Transnet Freight Rail. So the brand that you see I created, anybody who's graduated from UNISA, everything about UNISA has got my signature on it. Anybody who flies S Express, everything about the airline has got my signature on it.
Wow.
I've put in 2 presidents in power outside of South Africa. I write and I do what I need to do to make our continent great and to try and make sure that we're independent as continent. And the way we're going to be independent is if we build great brands, and whether it's great personal brands or great corporate brands or great political brands. That's what I do for a living. And yeah, I've worked on over 100 brands across the continent.
Wonderful. So.
And you know what? Nobody ever believes me when I say we always have the best of the best experts right here on Future CEOs.
That's exactly right. By the way, I hope everyone's convinced. Please send your questions through. I'm receiving them here, so I will ask them if they don't come onto the feed. And let's start with Anonymous. Who's Anonymous? I've also got jokes, yes, I know. Quite quick-witted. Here's the question, guys. How do you set yourself apart in an international corporate with respect to a unique personal brand? It's a bit of an interesting question. I guess there's so many people with so many good qualifications in these organizations. How do you rise above the rest?
Okay, well, let's establish what a personal brand is.
Perfect.
Okay, starting point. So personal brand is the powerful, clear idea that comes to mind whenever other people think of you. Mm. It's what you stand for. It's your values. It's your actions. It's your attributes that people associate with you. And the most important stance of where I come from is if you don't take control of your personal brand, other people will do it for you. Mm. But often when we are in the corporate workplace, we don't think about our brand. Mm. We're working so hard and we're improving our technical skills, and we're wondering why our colleagues who may not be as competent as us are getting the promotions.
Mm. Yeah.
Because hard work is not enough. Mm. And the key to it is understanding what is your uniqueness. What makes you distinctive in the workplace? What is it you want to be known for? Packaging it in the context of a promise, and then going out and marketing that promise to your corporate.
Mm. I think I think I must add on to that. It's not just a promise. It's a promise made and a promise delivered. Because the important thing is that a lot of people want to go out there and they say, I want to become a brand. I want to become... They also have to remember that a brand is not a celebrity.
I love that.
That's good, eh? That's
because, you know, a lot of people, when they think about branding, they think about celebrities. But we've got great brands. We've got Richard Branson. We've got Jack Welch. If you think internationally, you come to South Africa. We've got great CEO brands here. And those are brands because they are doing something unique that distinguishes them from everybody else. Because if you don't do anything unique and that distinguishes from everybody else, you are not going to stand out. And that probably goes into your question about what you have to do to stand out internationally. First, you must have something to sell. You must have something that distinguishes you. And it must not be something that is better than somebody else, but it must be something that is different from other people. So a lot of people, you know, when they see, because, you know, when I was marketing director for Nike for 6 years across the continent. And when I left to corporate to get into private practice, and people says to me, oh, but you're going into marketing. It's such an over-traded environment. Everybody's there. Because their idea of marketing and branding is blowing up balloons and hosting parties and being celebrated.
Okay, yes.
But they didn't understand that. I was more thinking about shaping president leaders who are going to run countries, taking countries themselves and shaping them into brands. So how I'm going to distinguish myself from everybody else who came along before me. So the key is you have to have something that is unique, that is different from everybody else.
You know what, being original is so hard in this day and age where everything is a copycat, everything is a carbon copy. What can I do, Donna, to stand out and be unique? Is it about me or what I entrench in myself? Or basically my passions, as we spoke about in our first session today. What can I do, or how can I be more original or the original?
So contrary to popular belief, personal branding is not about trying to be somebody you're not. It's about taking your best strengths, talents, and attributes, but packaging them in a way that people can understand the value that you deliver.
What do you mean by packaging?
Well, packaging is, for example, you know, your LinkedIn profile. To what extent is that packaged? So what I say is it can't be a CV. We've moved away from the world of CVs. CVs are passé.
It's very nice.
What's more important is what I refer to as your USP, your unique selling proposition. What that means is what is the unique value that you deliver over and above your colleagues. Mm. So when you're writing your LinkedIn profile, for example, does it highlight your area of specialization? Does it highlight what gives you competitive advantage? does it highlight what makes you distinctive? Does it highlight what are your unique values? And most importantly, what is the legacy that you want to leave? Because great personal brands are more driven by the why they do what they do as opposed to the what.
Butebe, legacy.
And indeed, Donna, and I think part of building a legacy is you can see how you execute at work. Jack Welch is a great Fortune magazine described him as the chief executive standard. One of the things that he said in his organization, he divides people into three groups, the 70%ers, the 20%ers, and the 10%ers. The 70%ers go to work every day, they get their job done, they get up in the morning, 5-8 o'clock on the dot, they are on their desks, 1 o'clock, they can't wait for 1 o'clock to go to lunch, 2 o'clock, they're right back, and at 4 o'clock, they start packing for 4:30 to go home. They says those are the 70%. It says those guys, when they leave their organization, when nobody's going to miss them. So those guys, by the way, we know those guys because, and I don't know how many people here have ever resigned from a job. And how many of you, when you resigned from a job, did they say, "Can we talk?"
Okay, interesting. There's a difference in the amount of hands that just went up there.
If they did not say, "Can we talk?"
Yeah.
You are one of the 70%ers. Because the 70%ers, as Jack says, we can replace them.
Mm.
He says, when they go on strike, we'll get another group to replace them, and the work will just keep on going. So the second group, he says, are the 10%ers. Now, I didn't understand the 10% well until I was driving from Drakensberg with the chief executive of one company, and he was saying to me, "You know what, Tebe, I start my year with a CCMA budget." I said, "What is a CCMA budget?" He says, "You see, every year there are 10% of my staff that need to be fired. They are useless. They drag us down. They are not adding value. They are not creating any results." And he says, those 10%, he says, "So what I do with my HR? I go to my HR department. I say to them, can you set aside 10% of the budget so that we can pay off the people who are going to go to CCMA and get the same amount of money?" So he says, "You want to save them the trip to the CCMA. We will budget for the 3 months. The CCMA will allocate them. And we will pay to them in January and fire them." Now, Jack says 10% of every organization must be fired every year. You need to cull them every year.
Interesting.
Because they're not adding any value. And then he says that the 20%ers. Now, the 20%ers, he says, those are the guys, and we know the 20%ers. They get all the promotions. They get all the projects. We call them teacher's pet or the boss's pet and all those things. Or sleeping with the boss, or must be doing something. But Jack says those are the 20% who bring 80% of the results. So you need to be asking yourself in your organization,
where do you want to fit?
Where you are, where you fit in. You must have an honest reflection with yourself. If you are not part of the 20%ers, you know exactly how you are. You are just a number in the organization. So the key to standing out is trying to ensure that your job adds value. Your job creates value for the organization. So understand what is value in the organization and ask yourself the question, are you part of the value creation or are you part of the salary bill?
Crucial.
Interesting. Crucial. Fantastic. Donna, here's a question for you, and it's from your Lisa. Your Lisa, do you want to tell us who you are? Where are you? She's behind you over there. Your Lisa is asking, how do you turn around a poor personal brand? So I guess it goes to your point of identifying what that value is. Now let's talk about how to turn it around. Where would you start? What do you do?
Well, the starting point of any personal branding is to understand what perceptions exist out there about you.
So perceptions versus reality.
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's all very well saying, I want to be value adding and I want to be intelligent and a go-getter. And your feedback is telling you that you're perceived as lazy, as incompetent and not adding value. So the starting point is to understand what perceptions exist and then to understand if there are any gaps, because you have to close those gaps before you can determine what it is you want to, how you want to position your personal brand. So I'm very strong on positioning. Positioning is when people think of you, what comes to their mind.
Okay.
So you have to spend some time determining how is it I want my personal brand perceived, and then based on that, what behaviors do I need to put in place that are going to entrench my personal brand strongly in the organization? And what are behaviors that could sabotage it? Because believe it or not, when you're building a personal brand, it's more important what you say no to than what you say yes to.
Interesting. Yeah? Interesting.
Closing the gap. Elaborate, what does that mean?
It's closing the gap between how you want to be seen and how other people are seeing you.
And how is that done?
So how that is done is I tell people, you've got to identify what are your best strengths. No great personal brand is built on weakness. You've got to take your best strengths and you actually have to make them stronger to be a strong personal brand. But having said that, if you get some kind of feedback of some weakness or some blind spot that is consistently given to you, that is what I refer to as your coffee stain in your cup.
All right.
And if you don't address that as a key attribute of your personal brand, you will always stay where you are and remain as being the 80% that you refer to.
You know, Jeff Bezos says, your brand is what they say about you when you leave the room. Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon. And it goes to what Donna is saying, that you really need to understand that, because it's quite important to know that gap between who you are and how others see, how other people see you. But now you must also remember that every single one of us, when we join an organization or when we join a group, we arrive there with great promise. We arrive there, they hire us, and they say, Donna, we are hiring you. We are hiring for great potential or for your ability to do. But many of us, we join those organizations, and we begin to undo everything that we promised that we're going to deliver. So the key to undoing a faulted brand is to deliver on the promise. Now, a lot of us may say, my goodness, I've messed up for so much for 2-3 months. Now, there's an American president in the 60s, Herbert Hoover. And Herbert Hoover, when he before he became president, the president before him said, this guy we must elect him as a president. We can use local examples as well. You know, some people we know when they came into power a couple of terms ago, they promised us 20 million things. So similarly with Herbert Hoover, and they said, you must make this guy president. And Herbert Hoover did get a chance, by the way. He ran, just like Barack, just like Jacob, just like everybody else. He ran for president, became a president. And when he finished, the general assessment of the American people was, he was the worst president. He was a textbook of how to be a bad president.
Okay.
So we know a lot of examples about us. When we start companies, people say we are terrible at what we do. We made a terrible mistake hiring Tebe. Now, Herbert was about 50s, in the 50s when this happened. And this happened. Now, 50s, you retire. You've got a lifetime still to come and live with that negative reputation that you've created. So what Herbert then did, he went on in his life. He tried to fix those problems. He tried to fix, but he did not fix them there. He rather went elsewhere and created a different legacy. You know, look, people like Jimmy Carter, Habitat for Humanity, Herbert Hoover did those things, Boy Scouts of America, and did all those type of things. And what happened is 30 years later, when he before he died, they had renamed about 30 states. 30 states had created a Herbert Hoover Day. And people in Time Magazine interviewed him a few years ago before he died. And they said to him, Mr. President, you were the worst president ever, but now, 30 years later, you have completely reversed that entire negative perception about you. Mm. How did you do it? Herbert looked at them and says, I outlived the bastards. So you may not have the chance to outlive the bastards, but what you can do is you can outlive their negative perceptions about you by doing that which you promised to be able to do.
Yeah, so what I hear you saying about him specifically is he went into a different environment and he delivered on a different set of promises.
Because he could not become a president anymore. Exactly. Just like many of us cannot be rehired back to those organizations. But what we do have an opportunity to do, we do have an opportunity at the next company to fix the mistakes that we made at the previous company.
So perhaps one of the lessons here is move on.
You need to move on.
Move on.
Because you know, Donna spoke about perceptions, because perceptions are everything.
I know.
Because perceptions become reality. Sometimes it becomes so very difficult for you to change perceptions of the people where you are, where you work, because they already have ingrained in them who you are. And the best thing to do is to move out of that space, go to another area, and create the legacy that you're destined to have.
Donna. So I want to disagree with one thing.
Oh, good. We like disagreements.
There's a bit of controversy here. So I don't believe that great personal branding is about delivering good work. Okay? I make three assumptions when I help people build their personal brands. The first is they have a strong sense of purpose for the work that they do. Mm. It's no good trying to build a personal brand if you don't have a sense of purpose that your work matters. Mm. The second is that you are totally passionate and besotted about what you do.
Is everyone writing this stuff down?
And the third thing is that you deliver shit hot work.
Love okay. it. Huh?
For me, personal branding is that X factor that's going to get you ahead in the workplace.
Yeah.
It's not about delivering good work.
I don't think we are disagreeing, by the way.
Oh,
because I was building onto that, because I do agree that everything starts with having a clarity about what you stand for. But it's important, you can have a clarity about what you stand for, but you need a horse to ride. And that horse is called a job. And once you have that job, unfortunately, you can have the greatest purpose in life. But if you're not delivering on what you're hired for, you are as useless as everybody else who doesn't have a job.
I really hear the same point coming out here. Your third point is definitely, there's major correlation here, and I like it. I really like it when two experts agree.
I know.
No, we just thought we would excite you a bit by having... I mean,
but we agree.
It's about outliving bosses and shit hot work. I like it.
Yeah, if you take anything from me today, that's what you guys just take home. Please, Donna, I just want to return to you very quickly because I believe there was almost a half answer given. And hear me out. I'm not challenging you.
But you should challenge it.
I'm not an expert in this field, so I'm going to...
challenging.
No, I'm pretty good at challenging. So you spoke about gathering information, determining what that perception is. Let's just go back there very quickly and just give us some mechanisms for. That's very important. So it's all good and well, and it's to do that, and I hear you, but how do we do it, and how do we do it well, and perhaps how have you seen people do it wrong? Please.
Okay, so look, I run workshops and I help people build their personal brand, so I get the feedback confidentially.
Okay.
And I do find that when it goes to somebody confidentially, people are ruthlessly honest in terms of what they want to say.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can do it yourself. You can say to people, I'm looking at my personal brand. I wonder if you could give me a few words of what are the key things that come to mind when you think about my personal brand. That could be just one question that you ask people that would give you a hell of a lot of good feedback of how they perceive you.
Okay.
Can I add on to that?
Absolutely.
Or perhaps can I put in three values which I know will go down very well because everybody will agree with me. That the three most important values that everybody should have in life is they should believe in gossip, they should be selfish, and they should be greedy. And let me explain that.
Let me
build on to that. Now, gossip is very important because in gossip, you hear how others see you, how they perceive you.
Mm.
They may not have the ability to tell you in your face, but when you are not in the room, they will be talking about you. By the way, gossip is such an entrenched value in corporate as well. And in corporate, we call it market research. We go out and we ask people on the streets, do you drink Coca-Cola? And they say, yes. Can you tell us about it? What do you like about it? That's gossip. They're trying to get the gossip on Coke from you. So similarly, you should be doing the gossip about yourself. You should be asking your friends. You should be asking your family. You should be asking your community what they think about you, what they think the impact of how you're behaving has on you. And that's an important thing to have, Gareth, because if you don't do that, you then are not getting the feedback that you need to do. I even say to people, you even have a good gossip tool. They say, what's that? I say, it's called a cell phone. I said, next time you're in a group in a meeting and there's discussions, you leave your phone on record and you say, I'll be back in a minute. I'm just going to the bathroom.
No, that's a great
And then I'm just going to the bathroom. And I'll tell you, when you come back, you just take your phone and you just put it back in your phone and you go home and play back. You'll see what they say about you. They will be talking about you. They'll be saying things like, we can focus on the real things because this one, when it's here, it's just wara, wara, wara. We're not getting anywhere. So now you know an important feedback about you,
that's so
that
true.
You are a wara, wara person according to your people. You are not the go-getter and do that type of thing. So that's important value. Gossip is important, people. If you don't believe in gossip, you must accept gossip today. It's the right thing to do.
Let me jump in here. You heard it first here on Future CEOs. Spy on your friends. by the way, when people talk about you, when I'm conducting market research, I always defend you.
I hope so.
Anyway, sorry, that was point number one.
The second thing is selfishness. Now, selfishness goes back to Donna. Donna just put it in more elegant words, about our value proposition. But selfishness to me speaks to you must selfishly pursue that which you are passionate about. Mm. Because if you're passionate about something, you will do what it takes to be successful at that thing. Now, a lot of people are not selfish with their purpose. What they end up doing is they go out and abdicate their purpose to other people. They come to Donna and says, oh, you don't like it when I behave this way. Okay, I will adjust myself to suit you, Donna. Mm. You should not be adjusting yourself to suit anybody else. You should be selfishly guarding and pursuing and projecting who you are. Because that way, we know what it is that we are buying.
Absolutely.
We don't want to buy you for what we think you are,
absolutely,
which is other people. You know, I think it's Oscar Wilde says, most people are other people. Their passions are other people's passions. You should be pursuing who you are. It's important to be selfish. You know, Adam Smith in economics once said, each and every person pursuing their own selfish interests ultimately achieves the common good. So in other words, if all of us are selfishly pursuing that which we are passionate about, very soon we're going to find out the people who believe in the same things among us, and the common good is achieved by getting people who are equally selfish and who are equally passionate on the same thing to pursue the same goal. So that's an important thing. The third thing is greed. Now, greed also says, if you love something, you must get more and more of it, because that is what gives you the greatest joy. What is wrong with greed?
I don't know how to respond to all of these things. I think we always try and preach the other side of the coin, but it definitely comes across
that
in what you're saying, definitely differently.
So I just want to add 2 points that were really well made.
Please.
It's that consistency and authenticity
key.
Cornerstones of personal branding. So
yes,
what I say to people is that consistency is far more impactful than moments of greatness.
Yes.
Sure. Okay.
Nice. Very
and
nice.
Authenticity, the minute you try and be somebody that you're not, it's going to come back to bite you. And people often say to me, Donna, I've got two personal brands. I've got one at home and one at work. Which one do I grow and develop? And what I say to people is that you are one brand. The more authentic, the more real, the more integrated, and sometimes by bringing attributes that you demonstrate at home or in your community into the workplace, it actually makes your personal brand more real, more connectable, and more authentic.
And you can deliver on the promise, right?
You can deliver the promise. You know, as a young executive working in New York in the early 90s, I learned one important thing when I went to a Stephen Covey course on diary management. And when we were talking about that, and the same thing that Donna says, some people had two lists. This is my home list. This is my work list. I was like, where are the two people going to get together? Because there is only one life to live, as the soap opera says. So your whole day, your whole life must have feed the puppy, write the strategy, sleep with husband, so everything must come together in one page, because you only have one life. Because if you are doing everything together, it means you are loving yourself. People get to see what your passions, people get to see what your interests, and people get to see what excites you. And that's why you need to drive one life, one brand, one diary.
Authenticity, as Donna said, beautiful.
Okay, there's a question from Amy.
Amy, where are you?
Amy, okay, hopefully I'm reading this right. Can you adjust the brand of young? It's not necessarily bad and can come back with other brands, but it can hinder. Did I say it okay?
So people not taking you seriously because they see you as too young.
Mm.
Well, I think, I think maybe what they're saying that your ideas are young, not you. Now, let's look at examples. The guy who started Facebook, how old was he when he started Facebook, and how old is he now? Isn't he still under the age of 30? Because the focus was not on his age, but the focus was on his ideas. Now, a lot of us, when we present our ideas, we present them as we are young, and we are not saying, here is a solution to a problem. So the positioning of your ideas should always be, this is how I'm going to solve your problem, this is how I'm going to overcome the challenges you're facing, not, this is how young I am, forgive me, I'm young, but I've got this idea. Because most of us do that. But of course, with me, you'll hear it will always come back to one thing. Is your idea great? Can it stand against any other idea? And are you able to deliver on that idea? It doesn't matter what age you are. Because we know a lot of old people who are terrible. And we know a lot of young people who are great.
Donna, what's your take on Amy's question?
You know what? I actually dealt with that question yesterday. Somebody had the exact problem. And I don't know if you've been exposed to transactional analysis. It says within each one of us, there are three personas. There's a parent, which is critical or supportive. There's an adult. And there's a child that is a happy and angry or a withdrawn child. Mm. Now, in every interaction with somebody, somebody's going to hook something in you.
Mm.
So a parent will say, and I had this experience when I was starting out in my career, so what can you do for me, kiddo? So it's very easy for your child to be hooked, my angry, my withdrawn child. You've got to try to take it back to adult communication. And so what I said in that situation is, well, the first thing we're going to do is understand the challenges you face in your business. So for me, it's not so much a personal branding, but I get exactly where you're coming from. It's about getting the communication on a level where they can start to understand the value that you deliver and the problem that you're going to solve, as opposed to getting into the emotional thing. And by the way, ladies, we tend to take things too personally, and we take things too emotionally. Business is just a game, okay? And don't take it too personally.
Very nice. Subi?
Can A or your personal brand let you down? Uteb?
Well, of course, of course, your personal brand can let you down, and we've got a few examples. So let's start with the international example, and then I'll come to a local example. So Tiger Woods, we love Tiger Woods. I know Tiger Woods personally. And Tiger Woods was the paragon of excellence on the golf on the golf field. Tiger Woods was a paragon of family unit. Tiger Woods was every corporate wants to be associated with Tiger Woods. So Tiger Woods had a brand of a family man, of a reliable, of a moral authority standard, if you will. So Tiger Woods apparently had a little fun with a one or two or three, who's counting?
Allegedly.
Guess what happened when that was revealed? When that was revealed, the companies which were associated with him lost $12 billion the first day the scandal happened. $12 billion were lost. Tiger Woods' ranking went from zero, from number one to number 50, I remember, at that time. Because his brand let him down. Because how many guys here have got one or two or three or four situations? So nothing happens to them because their brand are known to be situation guys. You know, they know that, I've got two or three or five, who's counting. But Tiger Woods was not known to be that. So his brand let him down in many ways because his brand did not live up to the brand that he had established. So in other words, he is now lost out on who he was, lost sponsorship, lost money, lost rankings, lost all those things based on, this is what we expected, Tiger. And locally, there are people who run trade unions, we know them, and they were found with zips down in their offices. And today, we know where they are. Today, they're trying to set up or start new trade unions today. And isn't it, Vavi? Et cetera, et cetera.
Nike retained the sponsorship of Tiger Woods because their payoff line is just do it.
I want to go into that and draw two parallels, by the way. There's another guy who rides bikes. Apparently he lost one or two.
Lance Armstrong.
Yes,
let's just be very clear about
this. In fact, Tiger Woods is a pussycat compared to Lance Armstrong, but my
surname is Armstrong.
Yes, you're right.
We're not related. He was adopted, okay?
Yes,
let's be clear about
this. Apparently he lost one or two balls for some reasons. I don't know. And from cancer and all those. So he wrote that to build a brand of the guy who overcomes cancer and writes seven Tour de France successfully. And of course, when he was caught out, he lost everything else. But here's a parallel between why Nike retained one and why Nike fired the other.
Yeah.
Nike retained Tiger Woods because, as far as Nike is concerned, as a performance-driven business, they were banking and they were buying and they bought into Tiger Woods for what he does on the golf field.
Yeah, the golf firm.
When Armstrong was also bought into for the same things in terms of what he can deliver on the road. And we just found that that was an inauthentic, performance. So that's,
Good point.
But what that speaks to, though, it speaks to understand what is it that they buy from your brand. So you must understand, if you understand your brand well, you will know that they are buying you not because you're a family man, a Christian guy, you pray seven times a week and you do all those things. You must know that they buy you because you can do X, but you also have this either. We bought our president in the Republic of South Africa not because he's a moral standard and everything else, but we bought him knowing all his baggages. We knew he's going to marry five or six or seven, who's counting, have one or two girlfriends. We know that. We have no problems with that because he came into power with that brand. And there's nothing wrong with that brand because it's part of his traditional brand and it's part of his personal brand, which he embraced. So as long as you embrace that, you cannot now, if all of a sudden Jacob Zuma wants a seventh wife, now all of a sudden we complain. Why are you complaining? That is his brand. He came into power with that promise. So you should know what it is that they are that you are selling and what it is that you are promising people.
Donna, your thoughts, please.
So you asked the question, how do you rectify it?
How do you recover? Yes, you've made that big blunder. Okay. In your personal brand, what do you do?
So the key is taking control and being honest. Okay. So you take someone like Bill Clinton, whose famous comment, I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Yeah.
And of course, whenever you see Bill Clinton, we think of a stained turquoise dress. So somebody that I referred to in my book that I did a case study on, which was DJ Fresh, who you will all know. DJ Fresh was caught speeding. Instead of hiding it, he went out onto social media and he said, I apologize. I've speeded.
Nice.
It was wrong. And this is what I'm doing to rectify it. In fact, he created a whole social conscious campaign around the speeding. So it's always better to be honest, to say what you've done wrong and what you're going to put in place to rectify the situation.
Very, very nice. I think we've covered quite a lot of ground here. Maybe just a final thought from both of you. And please speak specifically to our future CEOs. It's our community. They're going to be picking up the podcast, those who aren't here and those who are here because you need to hear this again. Teva, let's start with you.
Maybe just two things. The first thing has got to do with this idea that you have to evolve. Because how many people here used to wear bell bottoms in the 60s and are not wearing them today? That sounds superficial. That's a superficial thing. But you also have to understand yourself as well. That as a brand, as a person, you need to be constantly evolving.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be adapting to the changing environment, but never ever lose sight of who you are.
Mm.
So the most important thing, because who you are is going to be your anchor as you navigate the changing world, because the world is going to change around you. But I want to finish off perhaps with two people, one international, one local. One is Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett says, it takes 20 years to build a reputation and just 5 minutes to destroy it. So building your brand means you have to be constantly aware of your actions and the impact they have. Because every time you want to do or say something, I guess you have to take 10 steps back and ask yourself, or count 10 times and say, how's this going to land?
Very
before
nice.
You send that tweet, before you write that opinion piece. before you open your mouth to blurb something, before you put in whatever you want to do, ask yourself, what impact is that going to have? And a lot of us don't take the time to ask ourselves, because we, in the heat of the moment, we want to respond, we want to do what we feel is right. Finally, I want to end with on a passion mode, which is Miriam Makeba. Now, Miriam Makeba was asked many times, when are you ever going to retire? And she was in her 70s, and she was singing constantly. And they said, Miriam, you are in your 70s, you're a grandmother, you've made enough money, you've got a farm, why just go chill and look after your grandchildren? And Miriam says, I can't do that. She says, I can't do that because I am happiest when I sing. And she says, I want to sing until the last day on earth. Now, in Italy, a few years ago, Miriam was performing on stage, and she was singing. And as she finished singing a song, she retreated to the back. And as she was retreating to the back, she collapsed and died when people were asking, we want more. Miriam died doing what she does. Mm. If you're not doing that which you are willing to take to your grave, then you are doing the wrong job.
Very nice. Thank you. Donna, a final word.
I can make a short point to a story. What do you want?
We would like the story, but the short
version. A short story.
Okay, so there's an amazing story of a woman called Irina Sendler. She was a social worker who worked in the Warsaw ghetto during Nazi Germany. And she was responsible for the control of typhoid. And although she was not Jewish, she made it her mission to save Jewish children. How did she do this? She went into the ghetto each and every day. She gathered children. She put them in large white sacks or in coffins. Mm. And she trained two Alsatians to bark profusely at the back of her truck. So every time she left the ghetto, the guards were too scared to look what was inside her truck. Mm. All in all, Irina Sendler saved 2,500 children. She placed these children with Polish Catholic families or in orphanages. And to preserve their identities, she put their names in little pieces of white paper in a glass jar, which she buried beneath an apple tree in her garden. Mm. Towards the end of the war, she was captured by the German soldiers and tortured in a very bad way. Miraculously, she escaped and she survived. And when the war was over, she went to find the parents of the 2,500 children she'd saved. And I don't need to tell you, all of them have been killed in the gas chambers. It is alleged that in 2007, Irina Sendler was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. But the Nobel Peace Prize in that year did not go to Irina Sendler. It went to Al Gore. Mm. Now, although Al Gore was not an environmental scientist, Al Gore had positioned and packaged his personal brand as the man that was going to save the planet. And Al Gore got the Nobel Peace Prize, not for the work he's done on global warming, but for a PowerPoint presentation. Take control of your personal brand. Package it effectively and help the corporate understand the value that you deliver. Because if you're invisible, no one is thinking of you.
Thank you.
So,
do you have a final comment, Libby?
After those two, no.
We don't say anything.
I don't say anything.
I do want to, before we close this conversation, I want to just speak to everyone who is listening and who is here. Tebe has done something that we must all take note of. He is a man that has, as he has said, created presidents, done many things. What does he do with the little book that he carries around? I was watching him. People made some good points. He jotted a couple of the points down. Tebe, Donna, thank you very much.
We can't thank you enough. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.